Pleasure now to be joined by a gentleman that I've admired for many years. I've admired him on multiple levels. It goes without saying that he was a phenomenal hockey player. But I always admired the way he carried himself as a professional. And in an era where you see so many missteps with professional athletes, this guy is a great example of how not to make those. We're joined by Toronto Maple Leaf legend, Daryl Sittler. Daryl, thank you very much for doing this. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being on the show. And you are now the latest to be immortalized on the Walk of Fame, along with Jeannie Becker, Jason Priestley, and several others who were Al Waxman, a guy that I was talking about yesterday when I was a kid growing up watching The King of Kensington. Did you watch The King of Kensington when you were a young man?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't watch a whole lot of TV back then, but I happened to meet Al over a number of different occasions when we're doing kind of celebrity events. Nice man. Sorry that he passed away in 2001, though.
So the Walk of Fame is something that, look, you've pretty much received every honor that you can get, right? Now you're being immortalized with other Canadians, Al Waxman and Jeannie Becker and Deepa Mehta, a Canadian filmmaker, and actor Jason Priestley. And you've received so many honors, including the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1989. Your number 27 was honored in 2003, and you were added to the Maple Leafs Legends Row in 2014. As you accumulate these honors throughout your life and your post-playing career, what do they mean to you? Each one different? Do you look at them differently? Do they make you feel differently at different times?
Well, yeah, each one of them is different. You know, I retired in 85 and then 89, elected the Hall of Fame. When I got that call from Jim Gregory, it was pretty special. You do something you love doing, and while you're doing it, I guess you don't expect these sorts of things to happen afterwards. But when they do, it's quite an honor. When the Leafs recognized me putting the banner up, that was a special night because my wife had passed away from cancer, and I asked the Leafs to put her name on the banner, which they did. It was pretty emotional for myself, my family, and the fans that were watching it. So that was pretty special. Then when they announced the Legends Row, which is a few years ago, to be have your statue, one of the first guys to be on it with Johnny Bower and Teeter Kennedy, Brendan Shanahan, told us about it. It was, again, nice. I mean, it's nice that when fans come to the city of Toronto, whether you're, from Canada or outside the country, you can go down there and see the Leafs that played over the years. So to be a part of that is special. Now to be honored on Canada's Walk of Fame, I look at looking at the list of Canadians in all different careers and fields that have been on the Walk of Fame. It's pretty special. It'll be there forever amongst some great people that I admired as a kid. John Beliveau was there. Terry Fox was pretty special in my life. I love Shania Twain, so it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that event on October the 6th for sure.
Yeah, you talk about Terry Fox because obviously you just mentioned, your wife and her battle with cancer, and we know how many people are affected by it. And Terry Fox, arguably one of the most courageous things in the history of Canada, what he did. It was worldwide at a time when things going worldwide involved newspapers and traditional media, and it took days and weeks for stories to get out. It's not like now. Talk about your relationship with him and that time in your life.
Well, I was playing for the Leafs at the time, and I followed Terry's run just kind of in admiration to think this guy lost his leg to cancer. He's early 20s, and he's going to run 26 miles every day. I mean, not many people run 26 miles once in their life, but he was going to do it on one leg. So it was pretty touching and inspirational to me when I'd heard that story. So I followed him, and then I just got a call kind of out of the blue from the people of the Ontario Cancer Society. And when they met Terry at the border, the Ontario Quebec border, they asked if there's anything special that they could do for him. And one of his requests was possibly having the opportunity to meet me. So when they called me and said, "Hey, Terry would love to meet you," hey, that was pretty special for me. I ran with Terry down University Avenue into the, Nathan Phillips Square. The streets were lined with people. There was, 10,000, 15,000 there. I presented him with my All-Star jersey. I played in the All-Star game that year. But I got to know Terry from that day forward, and what I admired most about him, obviously his courage, but more importantly his humility and what he was doing for other people, even though he had this tragedy in his life. And he's inspired me. His picture still sits in my home. I don't go by it a day without looking at it to think, hey, this guy can do what he did in such a short period of time in his life to inspire and raise awareness and money for others. And hey, the little bit I do is really not much, but he's one of my all-time heroes for sure.
Daryl Sittler is our guest, Toronto Maple Leaf legend. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Joey Vendetta, and it's a pleasure to have him on the program. He's being immortalized in Canada's Walk of Fame this year, along with a stellar class of individuals. Daryl, I was talking about this yesterday, your goal in 1976, and I mistakenly said Yuri Sirra. I had a brain cramp because, of course, he played for the Leafs. He scored. I'm sure you scored on Yuri Sirra as well, but it was Vladimir Zorilla. And there's that kind of – take us back to that goal when – because I remember it, right? I watched it. I was 11 years old. I was watching it live, and you faked the shot and then went around him. Did you have that in your arsenal of moves? Did you have a book on him? Why did you do that at that time?
Well, what had happened throughout the series, I mean, the Czechs were playing really well. Everybody kind of expected the Russians and the Canadians to be in the finals, but the Czechs got there because of Zorilla. He was playing phenomenal, but he was one of those colorful guys, and when you were coming down the wing, he came way out of his net to challenge you. He gambled that you would have your head down and you could poke check you or whatever. So we had talked about that in the dressing room. Going into overtime, start overtime, Don Cherry, one of our coaches, had come through the dressing room. He'd mentioned, hey, guys, if you get a chance on Zorilla coming down the wing, make sure you look up because he'll be coming out. So when you're playing the game, everything kind of happens. You know, you just do whatever instinctively you do as a player. And I dumped it by the defenseman. I look up and I see Zorilla coming out. And no, it was a fairly sharp angle, but when I put it in the net, that was the greatest moment of my career. You know, we won the Canada Cup, the first Canada Cup, score the overtime goal, and to be a part of it was something I'll always remember. And I remember Harold Ballard answering the phones next day, the home of Maple Leaf, or the home of the Maple Leaf Gardens, the home of Daryl Sittler. So that was always something that stuck out in my mind, too. To do it as a Maple Leaf and a Canadian, and look at it back 40 years ago, it's hard to believe the time has flown by, but we've got the World Cup coming up here, and somebody else will be our hero possibly this year again. So it's great when we have these international competitions.
In his career, 1,096 games played, 484 goals, 637 assists, 1,121 points, and didn't shy away from the rough stuff. Didn't initiate it, but with almost 1,000 penalty minutes, Daryl Sittler was never a shrinking violet. And Daryl, something that I remember when I was a kid was, I think the date was December 29th, 1979, seeing the cover of the newspaper that Lanny McDonald had been traded. And it was back then, it was a drama. It was a real life drama in Toronto. I will never forget it because it affected everybody in this city. And I think it affected you the most. Tell us about that time.
Well, those were difficult and challenging times. I mean, what it comes right down to, each player, they just want to do their job and play hockey, something they love doing, help their team win and be a part of that. We went through some difficult challenges when Punchimlack became the general manager. I was a vice president of the players' union. I had no trade contract, pretty popular with the fans and my teammates. And Punch wanted to challenge myself and the other players on different issues to me that were, you know, nonsensical, really. And I've always been a believer to stand up what you believe is right. And I did that not in a mean and vindictive way, just that it was right. And through that, it became huge headlines, controversy, you know, banning me from going on Hockey Night in Canada, wanted to stop me from going on Showdown, issues like that. And it wasn't much fun playing under those circumstances. And then when he traded, I think, 11 guys off that team that had knocked the Islanders out about a year or two before that, you know, guys like Tiger Williams and Jerry Butler, Patty Buttet, and then Lanny. I mean, we all know the classy guy Lanny is, the character of a true gentleman and a player. And I think Punch probably traded him out of spite, and I felt bad for Lanny having to go through that. And that's when I took the C off, not something that I was proud to do, but I thought it was right to do at the time because Punch really didn't care that I was a captain and recognized with me. It was always, we were battling over things that were, again, really nonsensical. So I just said, hey, listen, I'm just going to go play hockey, forget all this other stuff, and that's what I did. So not a good time in the Leaf history, but if you look at, hey, I respect Punch for the cups he's won in the 50s and the 60s, but times had changed, and he was just like a military army sergeant back in the 50s and didn't want to recognize the union and the rights of the players. So it wasn't much fun back then.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's end on a positive note. The Leafs are heading in the right direction. We got about a minute here, and Auston Matthews, a guy that looks like he's going to be an absolute stud. It's ironic that he's an American and not a Canadian, but the Leafs don't have a captain, and you were the captain of the Leafs, and as you just described, you took the C off for your reasons and reasons that you believed in, and borne out over time, you were right. How important is having a captain on the team? Do you think the Leafs should name a captain this year, or do you think it's okay to go a season without a captain?
Well, I look at the management we have in Brendan and Lou Lamoriello, obviously, Mike Babcock and his staff. I think truly if they feel it's the right person for that role, then they will make that decision and that choice. And if they don't, they'd probably go without one. So to me, you just don't name a captain, just
to have one.
Just to have one. You do it because you want him to be the right person. And having said that, to be the captain in Toronto, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it, both on and off the ice. And, I thought Dion Phaneuf, he understood what the role was and was positive in the community. When you have a winning team, being the captain, everybody looks at you as a great leader. And when your team's not winning, then vice versa. They kind of blame you as the leader, and basically you're still the same person. So hopefully they find the right guy. We've got a great nucleus of young players coming up, and we want to see them all develop and grow so that we can all go down there and watch some entertaining hockey, but maybe have a shot at making the playoffs and winning the cup someday, and that's kind of the goal for everybody.
Daryl, thank you for doing this. It was a thrill to have you on the show, and congratulations on the honor with Canada's Walk of Fame. Greatly deserved, along with all the other honors you've received. And thank you again for taking the time to do this.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for the kind words.